for Health presents To Your Good Health Radio. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and Dr. David Friedman.
Welcome to the show. When planning this week's meals, should you focus on lowering the carbs or should you keep an eye on the amount of sugar, up the protein? With so many conflicting arguments over what you should be putting in your body, our next guests join us to help crack that code. This dynamic duo are helping people learn all the basics. Here to discuss their new book, Eat to Save Your Life, please welcome to the show Dr. Jerry Paquette and Gloria Eskew. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you.
We appreciate being here.
Oh, it's great. Gloria, let me start by asking you a question. I know as a nurse, you focused on treating symptoms and drugs, and then you did a complete turnaround and you focused on preventing disease with proper nutrition. When did you make the disease diet connection?
Well, I had a locum in my emergency department who did a lot with cellular molecular medicine, and he used to ask patients about what they ate, and I thought maybe he had veterinary training before he went into medicine, and I asked him that, and he laughed and said, no, why do you ask? And I said, well, I've never heard of this before, because we typically pull down spider webs. We're not looking for spiders.
Wow, that's interesting.
And so then I started to ask questions and went to his lectures and so on. So that's when I made the connection. I realized that in the beginning, Hippocrates said, let food be thy medicine, and thy medicine be thy food. And we have moved so far from that.
That's one of my favorite quotes. That's great. Dr. Paquette, I see that you guys are a big proponent of chewing your food, as well as I am, and share why chewing is so much better than just gulping down your grub.
Well, it's more polite. Excuse me. I think the point is, you know, everybody is really fascinated with juicing machines. Mm-hmm. And there's a real problem with the amount of juice we drink as a result of the output of these incredible machines. And the point is that our mouths are designed as juicers, but they do the juicing for us. If you eat everything, chew everything about 30 times, you are maximizing the nutrient availability of the food that you're eating. If you gulp it down, you're making it harder on your system to do the metabolism. That should be so easy. You just got to take your time. And I think one more thing about that for me is chewing a lot slows you down. And you become, you enjoy the sensation of being filled up long before you would if you were gulping your food down. You take so much more food in before you felt satisfied. Chewing is at the heart of so much.
That's a good point. Also, when you chew, your signals from your tongue go to the brain and tell your stomach what to digest, so it gets the enzymes ready. So it's a great process that God created. But I've never heard that term, that it's a juicer in your mouth. I love that. That makes a lot of sense. And then let me ask you, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that, so that's interesting. I noticed on the website it talks about nutritional void, which can be construed as so many different things. Gloria, share with the listeners, what is your definition of the nutritional void?
Well, it's just when we are not getting the nutrients from our foods. They're just so deplete of nutrients today with so many refined sugars and starches and these deficiencies, of course, are translating into development of diseases like diabetes and depression and so on. So chemical additives and preservatives and damaged fats.
Got it. So people can be eating, thinking they're reading the labels and getting the nutrition, but there's a big void in what they're actually putting in their bodies.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think it's more than just an empty space. I think it's because you're getting nothing when you think you're getting something and you're actually getting nothing, it actually sucks your health from you. You know, it's an active force, not a passive one.
Right. That makes sense. And I know you guys recommend a rainbow of colors and foods, and that's one of my tips for patients as well. Share what that means when it comes to making the right choices. What does that mean, rainbow? And what do they influence?
Well, you know, I think we know a lot more than we used to about phytonutrients in our food. That's those factors in a plant, in the whole plant, that help make the minerals and the vitamins in the whole plant much more bioavailable. And
right.
Every color of food has a different cocktail of those phytonutrients. And so you want to eat as many colors as you can because you want as many phytonutrients as you can. And that's going to make the nutrient availability of food far greater for you if you eat gray food or brown food.
That makes sense. And then, you know, as you mentioned, each one's different one. You've got interesting, you know, the tomato's red. It's great for the heart. So there's some color schemes as well that talk to the body parts, which is really interesting, you know, when you go on grocery shopping, just do a different color of the rainbows. Now, you mentioned the word phytonutrient. I mention that sometimes to patients. They think I'm talking about Fido the dog name and recommending dog nutrients. So let's stress that we're not talking about Fido. Share what Fido means for the audience.
Well, Fido just means... Sorry, go ahead, Gloria.
No, it's fine.
Fido means plant. So we're just talking about phytonutrients, nutrients in the plant, and most of them haven't been named yet. There's thousands of them. And we've identified some like lycopene, the carotenoids, and the bioflavonoids, etc. But there's thousands of them, and science is just coming to grips with those. The question is, why does nature produce such color? And if you watch animals go out there, they go out and they look for those colors because they're looking for a diversity of nutrients. The colors are the indication of that diversity.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because the body craves that as well. You know, I was trying to think of what's the biggest obstacle people face when it comes to staying on course and eating right. What do you guys think, let's ask Gloria, about the media? Do you think they're to blame for a lot of our misconceptions and improper eating?
Well, yes, of course. Advertising is very powerful. And, of course, they have branded their products so they're exciting to listen to. Look at the fast food restaurant that is the Heart Attack Grill. People scramble to go there. It sounds as though it would be, heavens, they feed, if you're over 300 pounds, you get it free.
Right.
So
it's called
advertising,
Heart Attack Grill.
Pardon?
It's called the Heart Attack Grill. That should be a warning, but it's an attraction.
It's an attraction, absolutely. And people love the advertising. With Coke and with Pepsi and all those brands, people hear the advertising and they go to get that. It's,
you know,
probably
it's
trendy.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the McDonald's has the song out, Fishy Fishy, and it's in my head. I can't get out of my head and think that I'm a nutritionist or I'd be pulling in there eating that stuff.
Absolutely.
The jingle. Like you just said, you sing it. And if you can't get a song out of your head, you see McDonald's, ba da ba ba ba, I'm turning left. So that makes a lot of sense. But, you know, it's people like you folks that are really educating, and that's what we appreciate with you showing people. It's not the media, it's the facts, and you lay out the guidelines, which is great.
Well, and for more information about the book Eat to Save Your Life, you can go to eattosaveyourlife.com. And don't go away, Dr. Paquette and Gloria will be back after the break to discuss the real connection between the food we eat and how it truly affects your health. What you don't know about diseases and the food you eat. It's coming up next, so don't go away. Right here on To Your Good Health Radio.